Welcome to In Depth with Academia. I'm Richard Price, CEO of Academia EDU, and I'm genuinely happy you're here joining me today. On this show, I unpack fascinating and sometimes pretty complicated academic papers, bringing you the highlights and the tough questions researchers are exploring. Remember, I'm not here to endorse these results, but to share them with you as food for thought. So, all right, today we're looking at a study from Chalet, Pourhamagadam, and the person we're spotlighting for this episode, Chuck Lane. The paper's called Dual Task and Split Belt Adaptation in Young Boys. Whole thing was published in the International Journal of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation. If you want to check out the full text, I always encourage you to dive deeper. Now, let's get to that core question this research tackles. Have you ever wondered, say, how well kids can multitask when they're moving their bodies in really unnatural ways, like walking on a treadmill where each leg has to move at a different speed? It's wild, right? This paper's all about split belt adaptation, basically asking, when young boys are forced to adapt their walking because one foot is moving faster than the other, does adding another mental task, like listening or counting, mess up how they adjust? And more than that, are certain aspects of movement especially affected by this divided attention? Why does this matter? Well, understanding how kids adapt physically while multitasking, think walking home from school while talking to a friend, or navigating busy playgrounds while, holding a conversation, it hints at how their brains and bodies coordinate, and I guess where there might be vulnerabilities or strengths. Plus, this kind of insight is big for designing rehab or educational programs too. Let's break down what the researchers actually did. They grabbed a small group, 8 healthy boys, ages 8 to 10, not a huge number. But recruiting kids for stuff like this is notoriously tricky. So, you know, you do what you can. Anyway, they had these boys walk on a special treadmill with 2 belts moving at different speeds. Sometimes the boys just walked. Sometimes they performed an attention task alone. And sometimes, this is the key, they did both at the same time. What attention task, you ask? Good question. The boys had to listen to a story and count how many times a particular word popped up. No easy feat when you're also focusing on keeping your balance. So, classic dual task experiment, cognitive plus motor. The researchers measured 4 main things: how long a boy spent standing on each foot, stance time; how long both feet were on the ground together, double support time; how far each step was, step length; and how far each stride was, stride length. The idea was some of these are believed to be sort of controlled automatically by the spinal cord, while others supposedly need more top-down brain involvement. So by adding a cognitive load, these scientists could see which gait features suffer. And here's the twist. They expected the parameters needing more brain power, specifically double support time and step length, to be impacted by having to multitask. But what actually happened, turns out, adding the attention task didn't really interfere with those suspected cognitive features. Instead, what changed were the feedback, or supposedly more automatic, parameters. Stance time and stride length got longer under dual task conditions, but not by a ton. There's nuance here. The boys adapted just as well in terms of the cognitive demanding features, whether they were multitasking or not. That's pretty intriguing. The researchers suggest maybe children rely on different control strategies than adults do, possibly because their brains, especially parts like the cerebellum, are still maturing. So while adults maybe really need that extra attention for certain movement adjustments, children, or at least boys around this age, might compensate in other ways or be influenced less. It's a reminder to you, the listener, that science doesn't always hand us clear, dramatic shifts. Sometimes the real insights are more subtle, and we have to dig into both what didn't change and what did. Even a 0.5% increase in stance time might mean a lot over many repeated steps, or maybe it's a blip, who knows? And just my 2 cents, but wait, actually, you ever notice how when kids walk with headphones, they seem to zone out but never really fall over? Sorry, that's a tangent, but it just flashed into my mind. So, what does all this mean for you? Well, if you're a parent, teacher, or clinician, it suggests multitasking in movement might not compromise kids in the obvious ways we sometimes fear, at least in this context. But, as always, this is a pilot study, only 8 boys and lots of nuances. The authors openly mention these limitations, and of course, research gives us insights, not absolute truth. Every study is a stepping stone on a much longer path. Remember, I'm just here to share these findings, not to endorse any definite takeaways. The ultimate message: kids' brains and bodies are learning machines, and the relationship between thinking and moving is a lot more complex and adaptive than you might guess. That's all for this episode of In Depth with Academia. Stay curious, keep questioning what science tells you, and remember, academic research is here to be explored, not to dictate final answers. Until next time.